This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
The Institute of Religious Science presents its dean and founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, world-renowned author, philosopher, and spiritual leader. Every Sunday, Dr. Holmes brings you this radio ministry to show you how you can use the power for good in the universe to enjoy greater happiness, peace, and security through this thing called life. Dr. Holmes, your Sunday afternoon program is a must at our home, writes a listener in Orinda, California. Both myself and my wife are studying your new lessons on the meaning of the Bible and are using the spiritual principles they teach in our daily lives. We think you rank high among the world's great spiritual leaders, and we are deeply grateful to you for your work. Well, friends, it is letters like these that make us know that you are receiving benefit from this Institute of Religious Science radio ministry. And remember, as you join all the many thousands of members of our vast air congregation in listening each Sunday, this program is yours. It is designed to help you to know that the power for good can be definitely and consciously used in your everyday lives. It is sustained by you, your letters, your loyalty, your faith, and your prayers. Today, in another one of his helpful and inspiring talks based on the teachings of Jesus, Dr. Holmes tells you that love is the greatest thing in life, and that as you come to know that God is love, you will find good in everything and receive good from everything through this thing called life.
Friends, everyone loves a lover, no matter what our faults may be. If we have a deep affection for others, people will excuse them. Those who have had the greatest love for humanity are always the ones that we admire the most. And all this leads us to the conclusion that love is the greatest thing in life, and that without it, we are missing something. In the science of mind, and in all psychological studies, it has been discovered that the people who refuse to love others never get the most out of life, while those who feel the lack of being loved are in an equally bad position, for they have an unconscious sense of being rejected and not wanted and needed. To learn to love rightly, then, is one of the greatest lessons in life, and this is more than a sentiment. For we are not dealing or talking about people who run around in a gushing manner, telling everyone how much they love them. But if we do admire people, and if we do have deep affection for them, why should we hesitate to express our feelings in word, in thought, and in deed? Why should we refuse to put ourselves in the other person's place and meet him as we would like him to meet us? Abraham Lincoln was one of the outstanding characters in our history, and the appeal that he made was his great love for others, his sincere desire to be helpful and understanding, and the spirit of tolerance that he maintained, even with his enemies. Of course, the outstanding example of all history is the life of Jesus, particularly where he told us that we should even love our enemies and do good to those that curse us. Jesus knew what we all must learn, that we cannot have an attitude of dislike or hate or viciousness toward others without robbing ourselves of the healing power and the comforting presence and the divine assurance that the universe itself rests on the shoulders of love. Jesus was more than a sentimentalist. As a matter of fact, he did not teach an easy philosophy of living. He plainly said that we must reap as we sow, and that if we would receive the gifts of life, we must be equally willing to distribute them. But love also is the greatest of all healing agencies, because a vast majority, even of our physical diseases, can be traced back to an inward sense of insecurity, which comes from a lack of confidence in life, a lack of being able to trust the power greater than we are, and the inability to feel that there is a perfect presence and a law of good that can meet all our needs if we will let it. Love creates confidence. Confidence gives self-assurance based on a power greater than we are, and self-assurance is necessary to a successful life. But love also is forgivingness, for love overlooks the little differences that we have and finds a point of reconciliation with others. Love creates tolerance and human understanding, without which we are filled with criticism, condemnation, and false judgment. No person can be happy or enjoy the greatest degree of fulfillment in life unless he has come to see that, after all, most people are trying to do just about the best that they can. And when we are able to reach back behind all the difference and the coldness of life, and reach through all intolerance and unkindness, only then do we meet that divine center, that center of God, which is within everyone. This is why it is that those who have really come to believe that God is love, and who, disregarding all difference of opinion, persist in maintaining an attitude of goodwill toward others, finally find that most people will meet them with sympathy and kindness and understanding. We know from our own experience that when we do get upset, as we all do, and have problems that we do not know how to meet, the best thing we can do is to find someone to whom we can talk, someone who has a deep understanding of life, a great tolerance, and who in his own experience has learned that just simple human kindness is one of the greatest things on earth. Since the very nature of our being is rooted in the need to love and to be loved, we are right when we assume that God is love. And assuming that God is love, how could we think of a God who could, under any circumstance, be either unkind or unloving? It seems to me if we could get this firmly rooted in our minds, then all harshness would go out of our religious or spiritual ideas about life. we should no longer feel that there is a God who seeks retribution, or that there is any divine power that could or would consign or condemn anyone to a state of perpetual unhappiness. Seems to me that we would come to realize that while it is true that a man must reap what he has sown, it is also true that when he stops sowing discord, he will reap harmony. When he stops sowing hate, he will reap love. And when he stops sowing fear, he will reap faith. Every man needs an inward, mental, and emotional feeling that everything is well with him, that he is not only protected and guided and guarded through this life, everyone also needs to feel that when he has shuffled off this mortal coil, he need have no fear of what is going to happen to him. The same love and guidance which he has had in this world will carry him into the next. And this is why Jesus forgave the man who died with him on the cross next to him and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus never intimated that anyone would be punished for his mistakes after he had stopped making them. Nor did he ever suggest that this world and the life we live here was the only place where we can stop making mistakes. Jesus viewed this life merely as an introduction to another one, to a larger life. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." We must realize then that divine love and divine forgivingness reach even beyond the grave, and that there is no place where they will ever stop. We all have made mistakes because of human ignorance, and we all have done so many things that we ought not to have done, that unless we can feel that love and forgivingness are eternal, we shall store up such a sense of condemnation within us that we cannot come to the point where we can even forgive ourselves for our mistakes. And if we couldn't forgive ourselves, we should always have an unconscious feeling that God does not forgive us. Jesus taught three great truths. You'll find them running through everything he said. The first, of course, is that God is all there is, whether it be here or hereafter. God is life. God is good. The divine forever gives of itself to us. This is the first great truth that Jesus taught. The next is that there is a power greater than we are, and a law of good that we are all using, whether or not we know it. He told us exactly what this law is and how to use it. And he said it will never fail us because it is done unto us as we believe. This was his second great teaching. And perhaps the third is even more important than the other two. Jesus taught that the divine giver is also the divine forgiver, and that love finally will heal every wound. Somewhere, sometimes, somehow, either here or hereafter. Therefore, Jesus gave us an eternal hope. But there is something else that Jesus taught, which is implied in these three ideas, and it is this: the kingdom of heaven is here and now, if we can see it. The divine giver is giving to us today. The law of good is working for us right now. And the divine forgiver wipes out the mistakes of yesterday so that they need no longer affect us today. Therefore, today, Jesus said, is the day in which we must begin to live. Take no thought for the morrow, but rather let tomorrow take thought for itself. Of course, there had been other great spiritual teachers before Jesus who were good and wise, but never before or since has the world been given such a complete philosophy of life, or such a perfect idea of the relationship that you and I have with God, the giver, the law of good that operates for us, and the divine love and forgivingness that finally must win in the life of everyone and bring all people at last into the kingdom of God. The thing that Jesus saw that has been overlooked or not understood is so very simple. He said, every man is a divine being on the pathway of an eternal evolution. There is a law of good that is working in everyone's life right now, and the kingdom of God is at hand if we will only see it. And Jesus placed the possibility of a kingdom of love, of harmony and peace and joy, of right action and success right here and now. It is our purpose in these talks and in the lessons that we are so glad to send you to bring this divine kingdom into our everyday experience for every good and legitimate purpose and not delay the day of fulfillment to some future time. Coming to realize that there is so much more to life than we have thought or believed or understood. Coming to know that there is a law of good and a power greater than we are that is available right now. Coming to understand that love and forgivingness do go hand in hand. We are trying to re-educate our minds and reform our thinking so that everything we do and say will be based on the idea that we are one with each other and one with God. But we have to add something else to this. In order to get the most out of life, there are certain rules that we have to follow. These rules you and I did not lay down. We never made them. We merely discover that they are so. The first rule is that it is done unto us as we believe. Our thoughts and feelings and ideas are either silently attracting or repelling. And along with this comes the necessity of understanding that since it is done unto us as we believe or as we think, and since God is in everyone, if we want to get the most out of our human relations, we shall have to learn to meet God in each other. And since God is the great giver, we shall have to give if we want to receive. And since God is the great forgiver, we shall have to forgive if we want to be forgiven. It is true, we may delay the day of our freedom, of our greater happiness, but somewhere along the line, it is destined that we shall all enter into the kingdom of God in joy and live with each other in peace and in happiness. It is destined that every man shall finally gain complete freedom from all limitation. And I believe that the time will come when our whole thought of God will so change that there will never again be anything harsh or unkind in it. We shall learn the lesson of love, the love that we have the need of, and the love that we must give if we want to experience it. And I think we shall learn that when we find good in everything, we shall receive good from everything, and not in a distant by and by, but in an eternal here and an everlasting now.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
forever. Friends, Here's an important reminder for those of you who wish to give Dr. Holmes' 10-lesson Bible course to your loved ones this Christmas. Your orders for this home study course on the meaning of the Bible must be received this week so that your gift may reach its destination in time for Christmas. Now remember, when you order these 10 Bible lessons for gift giving, they will be placed in a handsome maroon-colored leather-like binder. This special gift binder will have both the title of the course and the name of the person to whom you wish it to go imprinted in 10-karat gold. Furthermore, when these Bible lessons are mailed as a gift, a special Christmas greeting card bearing your name will be enclosed. But please send your requests in at once. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, this week. And remember, you may still enroll in this home study Bible course and receive all the lessons from the beginning. If you are already registered, this week you will receive Lesson 5, dealing with the teachings of Jesus and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. To order these Bible lessons for yourself or as a gift for others, write This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, at once.
There really is a prayer that gets results. But very frequently, in talking with people who listen to our program and in reading the letters that come from them, people will say, "But I have prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing seems to happen." Suppose we analyze this just a little. For I guess we all, at times, are in the same position. And so there is nothing critical in our analysis, for we really are talking about ourselves as well as the other person. If the law of good, which we announce, really does exist, and of course we know that it does, then we should receive answers to our prayers. But if, on the other hand, we pray in faith, believing one day, and the next day deny ourselves the privilege of receiving an answer to that prayer, are we not then, in a certain sense, through such a denial, making it impossible to receive the right answer? We are all more or less houses divided against themselves. And I don't feel that we should deny this, for when we do have a problem to solve, the sensible thing to do is to face it. You see, we don't say peace when there is no peace. We don't deny that people have negative experiences. We never say that people are not sick or unhappy or impoverished. What we do say is that there is a power that can change all this. There is a prayer of affirmation and faith that can change old situations and old conditions and turn them into new ones. What we are trying to do is to learn to be so persistent, so continuous in our affirmations, that these conditions actually do change. Let us take these words from the Apostle John as the thought for our meditation today. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And as we quietly meditate on these words, let us see if we cannot enter into their full meaning as each says to himself, knowing that the law of God is a law of love, and knowing that the law of love is a law of liberty, we are seeing freedom and joy and happiness and peace and wholeness in everything we look at. And knowing that perfect love casteth out all fear, we are strong and confident because we know that the law of good goes with us and prepares the way before us. Realizing that the kingdom of love is at hand today, we enter into this kingdom with a song of praise, a hymn of joy. And knowing that God is hid in everything, we reveal this divine presence to ourselves and to each other in sympathy, in love, and in kindness. Knowing that the great giver is also the divine forgiver. We forgive ourselves and everyone else for any mistakes that we have made. We unburden our minds and free our hearts, realizing that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of love is at hand. We enter into this kingdom, which includes all people, all events, all things. So we give back to the divine that which it has given to us, knowing that the gift will again be returned, but multiplied. And so shall peace and joy come as a light from heaven. And in that light, let us walk.
Open my eyes that I may see. Fullness of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Join us next Sunday when Dr. Holmes' topic will be the prayer that gets results. And be sure to send in your Christmas gift orders for Dr. Holmes' 10-lesson Bible course at once. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, without fail this week. And please remember, the Institute of Religious Science Healing Ministry would consider it a privilege to advise and assist you in time of trouble. All letters are confidential and no charge is made for this service. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, Attention Healing. For those who live in the vicinity of Beverly Hills, Dr. Holmes speaks every Sunday morning at 11 in the Fox Beverly Theater at Wilshire and Beverly Drive. Next Sunday, his topic will be The Miracles of Jesus. Our soloist today was Fred Guthrie with Irma Glenn at the organ. This program was directed by Wallace Bruce Ramsey.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
This Thing Called Life with Dr. Ernest Holmes is a non-profit, non-denominational service brought to you every Sunday by the Institute of Religious Science, in the interests of greater fellowship and spiritual understanding. You are invited to send your free will gifts and offerings for the support of this radio ministry to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Hugh Brundage speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood. America is sold on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.